Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat for Friday, December 9th, 2011. I'm Lisa, and our Mouse Chatters today are Steve, Bob, Chris, and Lauren. And joining us today, we have Bob's wife, Donna. Welcome, everyone.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Happy holidays.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, holidays are coming up.
On today's show, we will be discussing photography around the world. And Donna is our resident expert on photography, so that's why she's joining us. She takes all the pictures when they're there, and she does a pretty good job. I've seen some of her stuff. So we're going to jump into photography today.
Yeah, you can see some of Donna's work on our mousechat.net Facebook page. What type of camera? I know a lot of people bring, you know, the smaller travel, you know, cameras, and then I see all these other people with these huge, massive... Yeah. Any particular one that you recommend, or have you used both, or any particular cases?
Well, and of course with cameras, it is all a matter of, you know, of taste and convenience. You can get a smaller camera, which is going to fit into your purse or into your diaper bag, but you're going to have a lot of limitations to it.
Yeah.
So it really depends on what it is that you're wanting to accomplish. If you're wanting, you know, higher quality photos, if you're wanting some flexibility, then, you know, you probably would want to go with something a little bit more of the higher end. Because I do have a background in photography, having the digital SLR really worked for me because I do know a lot of, you know, the tips and tricks left over from back in the day when I did 35 millimeter, you know, actually using...
You're so old.
I'm so old, yes. Many a day I'd take the trolley car to the drugstore and have a phosphate while I flipped through my 4x6s. But, you know, but having the smaller camera... You know, there are some things that you can do with it, but yeah, you are going to be limited. So it's really just a matter of one more thing you're going to carry around the park. Now, I do see people with the great big giant sports lenses, and that's a little overkill unless, you know, you're trying to, you know, peek over the fence like we do. I mean, we do have a zoom lens, but it's nowhere near some of these ones that I've seen people carrying around the park as long as your arm. You know, you got to think about how you're going to be spending your day. Do you want to lug something else that's going to be big and heavy around? Do you want to just take casual snapshots just to document the trip, or do you want some, you know, really, heavy duty pictures that you can archive and, you know, blow up to put onto your wall and, you know, put on your website and things like that?
Yeah, so I finally splurged because when you have kids, it's tough because I had the smaller. I don't know. I've had a ton of different ones.
Just a crummy camera.
Yeah, the typical crummy camera. And the kid's doing something, and you're like, okay, camera, okay, on. Okay, it's thinking. You push the button, and then it's over. And you're like,
eight seconds later.
Right.
Yeah, and then when you finally push the button, it takes like, yeah, 3 or 4 seconds to actually take the one photo, and they're moved on to something else. So I finally splurged, and now I can shoot off, you know, I don't know, 4 or 5 photos. Instantaneously, and I can just shoot as many as I want and go through them. So that's perfect for having kids.
Yeah, and that's one of the beauties too of just the whole digital photography thing is you don't have to pay for a film and processing. So go crazy, experiment, play with your camera. You know, especially now if you're kind of curious as to how, if you want to take pictures of night shots or fireworks. Now with all the Christmas lights, you can go around and take pictures at night and play with your settings and see what will work for you. I mean, there is a bit of a science to it, and I certainly am not going to try to overwhelm anybody with it. I'm trying to make, you know, the information that I have as easy as possible because, you know, just like with any, you know, tech thing, there are going to be gearheads and be like, oh, well, I do this and I do that. And, well, you know, not everybody can do that. You know, so I just wanted to be able to have some information to give people so that they can try to, you know, make their pictures come out a little bit better.
Yeah, that's tough to talk. Speaking about night shots and fireworks, that was the hardest thing to do. And that was before I had my nicer camera, is they come out horrible. They either the fireworks don't come out at all, or they're super, super blurry, or the night shots are dark, or it's like just a giant flash of white. Do you have any tips or
Well, sure. The main thing is with there's a couple of different things, but the main thing when you're taking pictures at night is you want to have the shutter speed, which is also called the ISO. It's basically is how fast the camera is going to be opening and closing the shutter. You want that to be fast so that way you can freeze the action. But yet you also want the aperture, which is the opening that the light comes through, that has to be wide open so you can let all of the light in. So you've got two things happening at the same time. You've got to have enough light coming in to capture the image, and you've got to capture it quick. Otherwise, you're going to get that blur and that streak. So now on my camera, because it does have a manual setting, and everyone's going to hate it, but that's the main thing you're going to have to do is if you're going to be successful with having fireworks pictures, you're going to have to take it off of automatic. I'm terribly sorry to spoil everybody's fun, and everyone loves the automatic setting, but you're going to have to put it on manual. And The cool thing is, at least with my we have a Canon EOS, and once I have it set, it stays that way. So when we're walking around the park and, you know, it's time for wishes or something like that, I can just put it right onto that manual setting, and it'll remember the way that I had it. One kind of a drag was, though, when we went to Universal Studios to take pictures of their Christmas lights, their park, they don't go to black like Disney does. You know, you're in the Magic Kingdom, and they tell you to be still because they're turning off all the lights, and it does go black, but Universal still has a lot of ambient light around, and the settings I had just didn't work. So I kind of had to fiddle with it in a hurry in order to get some of these pictures to come out. But now, what kind of camera do you have, Steve?
My nice one that I finally just bought is a Nikon, I believe it's a D5100. So it's not the lowest end, and it's definitely not the highest end.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got two lenses. It comes with a regular lens that you would use, I guess, every day. And then I got the larger lens as an add-on.
Now, the speed that you'd want to have at nighttime, usually, you know, 1,000 or 1,600 is going to be the kind of speed that you're looking for. Again, with fireworks, you want to be able to stop that to stop the action. Another tip is don't use your flash. It's not going to do any good whatsoever. All you're going to do is illuminate the back of the head of the person that's standing in front of you, and you're going to distract everybody from the show. You know, everyone's there. They've paid their money. They want to see the show, and then there's flashes just pop, 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 and they're not going to do anything. A flash goes maybe 7 feet, and the castle is quite a couple hundred feet away, so you're not doing anything. It's not doing anything.
Well, it's like at a monster truck show when you see all those flashes from the stands. You're like, really? What are you thinking?
Right. You know, and of course the camera says, when you press the button down halfway, it takes a reading and it says, oh, it's very, very dark. I need to illuminate this. So unless you tell the camera, you know, no flash or whatever, it's going to try to trigger the flash. So if you can manually take your flash off, you know, go ahead and do that. Something else that's also kind of a bit of a pet peeve for me is, of course, you know, people want to get a good vantage point, and so they will turn on the liquid crystal display on the back of their camera and hold the camera over their head and shoot the film or shoot the fireworks that way. Well, when you've got several hundred people that are doing that and you have these little blue glowing screens all over the place, again, it's a distraction. It's rude. You know, everyone's trying to take a picture and your arms are waving up in the air. Plus, you're also going to drain your battery that much faster. So if your camera, especially with the digital SLRs, they all have the eyepiece. Use your eyepiece, you know, and open up both of your eyes. Don't just close one eye and look through because you want to enjoy the show as well. So use, you know, one eye to frame the picture. Use your other eye to enjoy the show. Keep your arms down. You know, don't block anybody else's view. You know, and if you can turn off that display, then you're going to save your battery as well.
Yeah. Speaking of etiquette, that drives me crazy too, especially the...
There's a lot of etiquette that goes
And we don't hit enough people to make a difference, and probably the people listening are the ones that don't take flash photographies when they say don't take flash photography in a dark ride, but...
Oh.
It's, you know, they say that, and then I think we were at Disneyland was the last one I was on, and we were on the Little Mermaid, which is their new dark ride. And I set my camera for flash off because they'd let you take photography, but you had to have the flash off. But then, like, every other little clam mobile around me, it was just strobe light. It was photo after photo after photo.
Yeah, and that's a real problem in shows like Finding Nemo the Musical. Oh, yeah. And it was a real problem on the cruise ship we noticed, too, during shows, which, you know, is a big risk for performers, especially on a moving ship.
Yep.
You know, so.
And it's also, and even in shows, it's just where they don't say anything, like Haunted Mansion or something. It just ruins it. It's just constant when people keep doing it in those shows.
Or Pirates. We've been on, Pirates of the Caribbean, and someone's taking a flash, and it's like, you want to, just elbow the person, but, it's like, what do you do? I mean, you're in a social contract with everyone that's on the boat. Everyone wants to have a good time, and you've got, one schmuck who's, ruining it for everyone, and it's like, do you say something, or you just grit your teeth and do the thing and hope that they get it?
You just rip up that social contract.
Yeah, you want to elbow them in the head. That's exactly. But I mean, that goes back to, again, the flash isn't going to do anything anyway. It's not going to take.
But they
the
don't. I think people don't even know how to turn that off. I think the average person that has one of those cameras has no. They just know to turn it on and push the button is the problem. I think.
And the time
What's wrong
to
with
experiment.
That?
Well, the time to experiment, I think, with a camera, if you get a new camera for your trip, and I know a lot of people do that, is not, when you arrive or not even when you're on the plane, because it's going to take you probably more than a couple hours to figure everything out. I mean, you want to be able to have it a week or two in advance so that you can try using it at night and during the day in bright sunlight in all kinds of different environments to get the best possible shots. Mm-hmm. And then, with shows and things, I mean, if you're in a 3D attraction, your camera cannot take 3D photos. So please stop.
Holding the glasses in front of the lens is not going to give 3D
effect. You're kidding. Is that why they're always blurry when I take them like that?
Well, they take it. I see people taking pictures of, things behind glass with a flash.
Okay,
at Living Seas, or Nemo, when you're there, and they're taking pictures of the aquarium.
If you want to take pictures in the aquarium, you definitely want to take the flash off, or if you can put your lens directly against the glass of the aquarium so that it's touching. That first of all, it's going to prevent any glare on the glass from the flash going off. Yep. Your flash might be able to illuminate a little bit of what's in front of you, but it's really not that dark. But that should help out as far as the glare for that. If you want to take a picture, you see, pastries in a window case or something like that, you get up on it. Go ahead and, right up in front of it, put your camera to the glass. Otherwise, you're just going to get some kind of a glare or something that's on there. Something else, too, is what I try to be aware of is stopping in the middle of the street and taking pictures. Be aware of people that are around you, people that might be behind you. If you have to wait, a second or two to get your shot, you see somebody who's posing in front of the partner statue and you want to get a picture of the partner statue, you may have to wait a little bit and, tapping your foot and, that's not going to make anybody else happy. So just, be patient and no pushing, no shoving, play nice.
The other etiquette thing that you just reminded me of is, I used to try not to walk through people's photos, but someone will stand on one side of Main Street and have their party 20 feet away on the other side of Main Street.
Impossible.
And then they're trying to figure something out and they're framing it and moving back and forth. And I'm just going to walk through. If you're going to be that far away, I'm just walking through.
Yeah. If you're going to do something like that, be quick about it.
I mean, you can be a couple feet away or 5 feet away or something, and in an area where people can get around you, and then take the photo and kind of move out to the side.
Mm-hmm. Oh, something else with night photography too. Your autofocus, especially depending on where you're going to be standing in the park. If you're taking a picture of something, go ahead and frame up what you're going to do. If you're taking a picture of the castle, frame it up and then turn off your autofocus or switch it to manual focus, because once the fireworks start going, if you happen to catch a clip of of someone's holding their camera phone up or something like that, and there's some other light that your meter in your camera picks up, your autofocus is going to go crazy. So you can, and it's just back and forth until you can get it focused on what you want. So if you can turn that autofocus off, set it to infinity or something like that, then that might save you a little bit of added grief.
Now, is there any tips or tricks? This is the thing I can't figure out either. Like if I'm in the Haunted Mansion, so I've got the camera set with the flash off, but I'm in a moving vehicle. Mm-hmm. So if I try to take a photo and I hold it really still, it doesn't matter because the Omnimover is moving. So no matter what I do, my shots come out blurry. I don't know if there's a trick around that or not.
There is and there isn't. I have yet to have some successful pictures come out inside the Haunted Mansion. It is really so dark, and yeah, you are moving. The only trick that you can do for something like that is, instead of holding still, pan with the action. You want to kind of turn your body, especially also if you're taking pictures at night, this works too, is you want to turn your body into a tripod. Bring your elbows against your sides and kind of lock them in, and hold the camera up to your face, and kind of hold your breath and squeeze and just make yourself as still as possible. But if you're on a moving ride like that, you want to kind of pan your upper body with the action, so that way you're moving at the same pace of the tram or whatever it is that you're on, and that might help to prevent the streaks a little bit. But yeah, I'm not successful with Haunted Mansion.
And then my last question, and then I'll let Lauren talk. My last one is I guess PhotoPass and how that works, and PhotoPass photographers, and will they take a photo for you? If they're at one of the stations, or do you have any experience mm-hmm. with that?
No, we've never really done anything with the photo pass. I think, we like to sometimes play, make funny faces on the, on some of the ride photos, but, and I think we bought one time just because, we tried to, cheat and take a picture on the display and it didn't come out. So we bought one, but we've never really done the photo pass thing. And I know that, I've seen some really good pictures of some of the families that they've taken at the resorts and so on.
Those photo pass photographers, yeah, I know from past experience, they will take a picture with your camera, if you ask them to, but I mean, if they're not familiar with the camera, especially if it's a DSLR, they may not be familiar with it. it's just, you never know how it's going to come out. It might come out good. It might not. I guess it's the same as asking any stranger to take your picture, but they will do it. I mean, if you ask, they'll probably want you to take one with their camera as well, but it's not like you're obligated to buy it anyway.
I want to know, how do I take good pictures of fireworks?
Well, and again, with your camera, because it doesn't have the manual setting, I know that a lot of the smaller cameras do have like a fireworks setting, and that usually should turn off the flash and speed up the shutter speed. But if it really depends on whether or not you can make any adjustments to the preset.
Okay.
But a lot of it is quantity. I mean, if you've got plenty of room on your memory card, fill it up, go crazy. Again, you're not paying to have anything processed, and you might luck out. I mean, we'll sit there and the preset that I've put on my camera is for the multi-shot. It's where you press the trigger once and it just takes a whole stream of pictures. And of course, I don't do that for the entire show of Wishes, but like when there's the part of Wishes where the it's kind of like the fanfare, the fireworks fans out behind the castle.
Yeah.
And once you start taking a couple of pictures like that, if you can you go through like the 20 or so pictures that you took, and you can find the one that's perfect, the one that's got all of the lights the way that you want it. You know, you'll find one like you didn't even know that, you know, one firework went off that you were going to take a picture of. Another one came up behind it out of nowhere. So, yeah, I mean, if quantity, I mean, that's a lot of it. A lot of it's luck. But the main thing is if you can get your settings right so that the camera will behave the way that you want it to, you know, that's great. But, you know, all of that other stuff, you know, standing still, making sure that the camera is going to have a wide opening and is going to have a fast speed, not using your flash. I mean, all of that stuff is going to help.
Okay.
I wish there was a cut and dried answer, but it's, well, you know, it's science and luck, you know?
I know. I'll try it out this time when I go.
Yeah, experiment.
Stand on Bob's shoulders. That's the answer.
There you go.
That actually might do it.
Have you ever brought in? Have you brought in a tripod before?
No, I haven't. I haven't owned a tripod in years. All those pictures that you see—that's just standing. You want to stand with your feet shoulder width apart, and give yourself a good base. You know, if you've got a nice tall attorney that you can lean against, that's great too. But
they don't necessarily have to be an attorney.
Well, I think it might help.
Yeah, you know, but yeah, just you know. And again, just, you know, bring your elbows in and, you know, don't push the button because you want to squeeze it. You want to keep the camera from moving as much as you can. So, because, you know, of course, any movement is going to, you know, register. But, again, a lot of it is experimentation, trial and error. I mean, I can tell you the settings that, let me turn mine on. Yeah, like my manual setting, I have it on multi-shot, auto white balance. The ISO is on 1600, and it's on f3.5. So it's a fairly wide aperture when I take it. And again, you know, not all of my pictures come out. But,
you know, quantity.
Yeah, you play with it, and we don't own Adobe. All of the editing that I do is on is mainly just for color balancing, and sometimes if something came out a little, you know, too dark, I can pop it up a little bit. It's better that it's a little too dark than too light, and I just use the editing stuff that comes with Picasa and Picnic, so I don't have any kind of crazy stuff. Or, oh, she's going in and airbrushing. No.
Now, what about what lenses do you bring? Do you just bring one lens that you know you use for pretty much everything, or do you bring a couple lenses with you?
We just have the two lenses. We have the standard lens that you know came with the camera itself, and then we got most recently got a zoom lens, and it's a 75-300mm zoom. So it's not a big sports lens or something like that. But, you know, if you're standing back at Casey's Hot Dogs, you know, you can stand back there and you certainly can zoom in enough to fill up the frame of the castle. In fact, that one picture that I posted, I think Chris saw it, the one of the fairy godmother where she's making the heart with her hands.
During the castle.
Yeah.
I was able to zoom in on her. We were standing at the bridge to what world is that?
Adventureland
over there. Yeah.
We were standing over there, and I was able to zoom in on her standing on the balcony up there with that lens. So it's a nice lens. You know, it's a good one. But and of course, you know, whenever we peek over the fence at the construction, that's the lens we use too.
Okay.
To zoom in on that kind of stuff. So it's a good one. Like I said, it's not a sports lens. It's not like the ones you see the guys at the end zone. This thing is maybe about 7 inches long. So, you know, fits easily into the backpack.
Yeah.
Because anything you bring in, you know, you're going to have to carry around with
that's,
you.
That's the problem. Because I have that. I've got that lens that I got for mine. I think it's like 55-300 or something like that. But I've never used it. And I just can't. I can't get myself to carry it around in the park, plus the regular lens.
Well, it's not that bad. I'm sorry.
That's okay. No, I was just going to say, we really started having fun with it at Flower and Garden.
Oh, yeah.
That's when we had first, I think we got it, at the beginning of the year, we took it to Flower and Garden and really got to zoom in. We went into the butterfly house and zoomed in on some of the butterflies, and I was just like, oh, yeah, this is great.
Oh, and the other thing we bring sometimes are filters for the lenses, so maybe talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. Now, talking about glare, a polarizing filter, what it is kind of like sunglasses for your camera. If you put that on, it automatically will help to reduce the glare, and it also kind of gives the sky a little bit more of a blue tint to it. Okay. So it'll make the clouds pop a little bit more. And so that's a good one to have. As far as other filters go, you've got things like if you want to get, kind of arty, there's the, there's star filters and there's soft focus filters, which is more for portraits and stuff. But the polarizer is definitely one that we like, and it kind of spins. So that way you can, as you're looking through the camera, you can spin it and make sure that you're getting the right kind of look to that you want.
Yeah, we use that a lot, I think, on our Disney cruise.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Some of the pictures that you see looking out onto the ocean, with mountains in the background and stuff are, take advantage of the filter.
Yeah, I really wanted to use it for that because, we were hoping to go on a whale-watching excursion, and that kind of a filter would kind of help to break the glare that's on the surface of the water. So if there, was a whale or something like that, we might be able to, if the water was clear enough, we could kind of see through a little bit more.
We got a tsunami instead.
Yeah.
no whale watching,
You have to go again.
I know, yeah.
Yes, well.
Hopefully
there's,
soon. Yeah,
there's no whales in, we wouldn't see anything.
No, probably nothing in the Bahamas.
In the Atlantic.
No.
No, you have to do the California one again.
Yeah.
The only other thing I just got, which is nice, is the iPhone 4 camera. Mm-hmm. Which I hate to even say because I see people taking pictures with their phones in the parks all the time. I'm like, oh, this is going to be horrible. But it's actually – the camera is actually – on this phone is actually pretty nice. And the video does like 1080p video, and it's super quick to turn it on and take some photos of the kids or when you're in the parks and take some quick video.
It captures the memories that you're trying to capture. It's,
yeah,
it's
and
not
you always
something
have
that
it with you.
Put on the silver screen, but
– and it's good for web. It's great for – like doing web videos of the kids, and you can email it real quick or put it up on Facebook real quick, and all that's built in, so it's super, super fast.
Yeah, I have a picture on my iPhone 4S that I took of the castle with the lights on it, and it's hard to believe that was taken with the camera, for the phone.
Yeah, cell phone cameras have really come a long way in a very short period of time. Even for just for being a cell phone camera, being so small and having such a small meter. I mean, the smaller the camera it is, the smaller the meter is. So the less information that's coming through, to be able to make the adjustments to it. But yeah, I've been really impressed with how good the cell phone stuff comes out, and with the video too. I know I've taken some video, especially that night that it rained so hard at Hollywood Studios. Shots a lot of video of that. But that's been impressive too. But then again, you've also got the whole thing where you have to hold it over your head, or you have to hold it in front of you and look and stuff. So that's getting back to the sea of blue.
You wouldn't rely on it
for snapshots, absolutely. But yeah, no, I wouldn't rely on it for serious pictures. But yeah, it certainly is great for snapshots and stuff.
The only other thing, and you kind of touched on it earlier, was framing a shot, and you've talked about here, there, and yonder with me. So explain.
Yeah, as far as compositions, composing your shot is the principle of thirds, is that you always want to have, if it's something that's going to be, visually interesting, breaking the image up into thirds. And the way that my photography teacher taught me was the here, there, and yonder. You have something that's in the foreground that's interesting, then you have the there, which is the main shot of, what you're looking at, and then the yonder, which is the background. So say if you wanted to get a really cool picture of fireworks, maybe you'd have the partner statue in the front, and that might be out of focus. And then your main focus would be on the castle, which is the there, and then the yonder would be the fireworks behind it. So, you know, framing something like that is always interesting. You know, taking pictures around the resorts, you know, just and again, you know, you got to think, is this something that's, you know, going to be, you know, a boring picture? Would somebody else want to look at it? You know, just snapping pictures to take pictures, but, you know, just kind of putting that into your head of, as to how you might be able to make something just a little bit more interesting for other people to look at.
Well, that brings up another one I had. So, and this is another amateur question. If I want to take just a basic photo, say, of the kids on Dumbo and they're, you know, it's sitting still, and I can't, it's hard for me to figure out what the manual setting is, and I forget if it's the P or the S or whatever the other one is, to get them in focus in the ride, but then I want the background, kind of that frosty, blurred look.
Mm-hmm.
So there, now is it, and there's one setting I think that you have to have it set, is it the F stop or?
I mean, now you're talking about depth of field, and because the f-stop, the aperture setting, you know, certainly can affect that. If you're in a situation where, you know, you're getting the kids situated on the ride and want to get a picture real quick before the ride starts moving, something that you can do would be to put your preset on portrait, because the portrait setting is meant to focus on someone's face, and it will and that's it. So it's going to automatically set your depth of field to focus on something in the foreground, and it will blur.
Yeah. That's what I've been doing when I first started, as I played with the kid setting, and then there was also a portrait setting, and it gave me a slight blurred look.
Yeah, if you've got a setting for, like my camera has got a picture of a flower, which is, you know, that's almost kind of like, you know, like macro or extreme close-up, that would do the same thing. It's really going to, you know, just focus on what's close up in front of you, and everything else in the background will go blurry. And, you know, conversely, if you use the one that's looks like, if you've got one that looks like a mountain or that's landscape, and that's for more wider shots. If you're taking picture of, you know, the inside of the Grand Floridian or something, you want everything to kind of be the focus, then you would use something like that.
Do you notice that Lisa has no camera questions? She's always in the photo.
Well, and she's so photogenic.
I'm sorry.
That's another tip. And that's something I actually probably need to do more myself. Is like I get like 800 photos and there's like one of me. So I guess the other tip or advice is to find someone and tell them to take a couple photos of you.
And cast members, and Bob is right, cast members are usually pretty happy to do it. It's just a matter of, you know, biting the bullet and saying, all right, I'm going to get in a picture, you know, and just have fun. Have fun with it. I mean, you're there to have a good time and to be silly. And the cast members love to get involved and to help you out. And the characters certainly are the same way.
Those are the photos that come out the best, too. And it's the action shots or the ones where you're just capturing like the moment are the ones I like the best, as opposed to like everyone standing there trying to smile in front of something, in front of the castle. Or,
oh yeah. I mean, we got great shots, I think at Star Wars weekends when we were there.
Oh yeah. The characters that were wandering around, just, you know, you're sitting there talking to someone, next thing you know, you like turn and look, and what was that? The freaky chick with the hair.
Oh, she's in the Clone Wars. I forget what her name is.
But yeah, I'm like talking to someone else, and I'm like,
Ventress, yes, thank you. Chris would know.
And she's staring at me.
Yes, Ventress. Yeah, Ventress is right there. Or, I mean, Boba Fett will just be walking around, or, you know, and we even got some good shots of in between, you know, we didn't want to wait for on the lines for, like, you know, Jedi Mickey with his little R2-D2 unit. But we waited in between him seeing people, and we yelled that, you know, hey, Mickey, you know, this way. And Mickey kind of posed a little bit for us and turned our way for a few seconds, and we were able to catch some shots. So that was kind of cool. But, yeah, I mean, so I would agree. I mean, definitely action shots. And if you're lucky enough to, you know, have one of your kids, let's say, in, like, the Jedi training.
Padawan training.
Yeah, Padawan training. Yeah, that's an opportunity for action shots, and whoever they have as Darth Vader, I mean, that guy is spot on.
You brought up a point about, you know, snapping pictures of just anything, and I was always told that, you know, you can look at a beautiful landscape or scenery or the castle or something fun, but if you don't have people in it, you're really not going to care about the picture. That, you know, it, if you are doing it for memory purposes, if you're doing it to be a photographer or to put it on your blog or whatever, that's one thing. But if you're doing family photos, if you have a picture of the castle and it's just the castle, and it just adds a whole lot more if you have family in the picture, no matter what the picture is.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, so nothing wrong with taking a picture of just the castle, but yeah, I mean, you definitely would want a picture with your family or your grand gathering or whoever you're there with.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause a lot of people you see and they come back and they're like, okay, there's another iceberg. There's another mountain.
Right.
There's the water with the mountain in the background, and you go through about 100 of those. But yeah, the ones with family in them or something interesting in them are better.
Right. But you're trying to take a picture that you want to blow up and frame or something, or, you know, you're doing that and you're taking 800 pictures literally of the same scene to get the perfect chance opportunity, that's one thing. But
yeah, and for us, we take a lot because we're blogging and writing articles or
Steve takes pictures of, it's
so
embarrassing.
I'm like, yeah, and it's amazing. I'm like, don't
trash
I have
cans.
A photo? Yeah, I'm
Chris,
like, don't
I
have
do we have any settings for trash cans?
We got everything. And yeah, it's amazing. I thought I took a picture of everything. Oh yeah, I went in the candy shop and I took close-ups of like everything I could think of.
You know, I was surprised he didn't ask to go behind the counter so he could get a nice, good close-up.
I think he did.
Pictures of every Rice Krispie treat and candied apple and close-ups of buttons and boxes of candy and everything.
That is it for this week. We'll wrap it up here. Thank you to pixievacations.com for sponsoring this podcast. You can find our shows at mousechat.net and at iTunes. You can download us there. And you can send any questions or comments that you have, send those to comments@mousechat.net. And we hope you join us again here next week on Mouse Chat.